NASA landed a robot on the surface of Mars, but I think in 5 years, they'll be really embarrassed by that.
You are listening to the It's Not Real Magic podcast. This episode was recorded March 22nd, 2021, and published March 24th, 2021. Welcome to the It's Not Real Magic podcast. The question of the day is, what is the most interesting thing on your keychain? I'm Kevin. The most interesting thing on my keychain is the key to get into my apartment building that only works in one of the doors.
I'm Alexander, and the most interesting thing on my keychain? I think I have a key on there that's kind of got like a camouflage look to it. I think it goes to the house or it goes to work. I don't really know, but everything else on there is just boring.
I'm Lucas, and the most interesting thing on my keychain is actually the lanyard that the keychain is on, because I have a Red Wings lanyard.
This is Jacob, and the most interesting thing on my keychain is nothing, because I am a minimalist when it comes to keychains, which means I just have my car fob and a key to the car. And I would say the most interesting thing on our family's keychain, though, is my wife's keychain, which is like a bazillion things on it and is like this huge wad of keys and little trinkets and stuff. And one of them is it's some like kitschy Nike spoof that on one side it says prayer, on the other side it says just do it.
Okay, my theory is that if you have a purse, you can have a really tricked out keychain. When you just have pockets, boy, they fill up and get really pokey really fast if you get anything interesting.
I actually can't get my wife's keys in my pocket. I have to wear them around my neck by her lanyard. And that's, you look like a real dweeb doing that.
But you have a lanyard.
My wife's keychain has a carabiner on it, so I have to click it to my belt loop.
Oh, no.
And I jangle when I walk.
I mean, with that much stuff on it, isn't it going to jangle when you walk anyways? No matter what you do with it?
If it's stuffed in your purse, it doesn't jangle.
I have a question. Do you not have a house key on your key ring, Jacob? You just have the car key?
Maybe. I may have a house key on there, and I may have a church key. But other than that, I'm not even sure if I have those.
But if you do, there's nothing special about them. Right?
But, no, it's just a normal.
No, what he said was, I have my key fob and my car key. But how do you get into the buildings?
Garage door opener.
And the rest of the time he knocks.
Apparently. Now, hold on. Before we get too far ahead, Alexander, what do you mean you have a camouflage key that you think goes to your house? What was up with that?
I never use the key to my house. When I come home, Lauren and Ember are already here, so the door's never locked for me. And so I never use it. And so I have two keys on my keychain. And one of them goes to the house and one of them goes to work. And when I get to work is also unlocked. So I know I have the camo one. I think it goes to the house. I think the one that goes to work is just a plain one, which would make sense. I'm going to say I have a house key that has camo on it. Yeah.
How did you get a camo
house key? Do you not lock your house when you leave for work?
No, Lauren's here.
Asleep, right?
She gets up earlier than I do.
Oh.
Like, I sleep. She gets up, does things. I get up, groggily stumble out the door towards the truck. So, in the event of someone coming into the house early in our morning, she's the better option of doing anything about it anyway. Plus, we have a dog. So,
that's true.
Fair.
No fears. No, I used to have a Red Wings key to our house in Wyoming. And so, that was a sweet key. I actually got that key here in Michigan. And then, I just got the blank here in Michigan. Then I had it cut in Wyoming. Or I might have brought my Wyoming key here to Michigan with us one time so I could go down to the hardware store and get the Red Wings key and get it cut here, knowing that I wouldn't be able to test it and make sure it worked until we got all the way back to Wyoming. And if it didn't work, it'd be very sad. It was just a little sticky. It wasn't cut perfectly, so you had to know how to hold the Red Wings logo just right to get it to open the door. But seeing as that is no longer our house, that is part of history, and I really should probably get a new Red Wings key here at some point. But until then, let's start the podcast proper, shall we? I have a question for you brothers, hypothetical or Maybe this isn't hypothetical. Maybe you run into this on the regular. You have $20. You have no food in the house. Dinner is in an hour. What are you doing for dinner for your family?
So I'm ashamed to say it, but the answer is McDonald's.
Why are you ashamed to say that?
Because it's McDonald's.
Because $20 buys you a lot of McDonald's.
It's true. The only place you could probably get more is Taco Bell.
Like, if I give you 10 bucks, you could still be able to eat at McDonald's. I gave you 20, so you're getting a lot of nuggets.
You can get, like, fries if you have 20.
If you're willing to just drink tap water, you can get a lot of food for 20 bucks. If you don't get the drinks.
Actually, about that, I have a couple of questions before I can give an answer. By family, do you mean, in my case, just me?
Yes, just those that you would be expected to provide dinner for.
Okay, second question. Is this a cheat day or not? Because that's going to change my answer.
I'm assuming it's a cheat day because you have no food in the house, and therefore you have eaten all of the good, healthy food that you already have in the house.
But it's a weekday. I don't have food in the house.
I think for the sake of the question, it has to be a cheat day.
Or give two answers. Tell us what you do for a cheat day and tell us what you do on a regular day.
Well, on a regular day, I do the same thing I usually do for dinner, which is nothing. on a cheat day, probably walk down to Little Caesars again for like the 10th time this year.
Sweet, sweet ICB.
Sweet ICB.
How much of the $20 would you spend in that single visit? Would you get like Ultimate Supreme Pizza plus some crazy bread plus a cheese bread and a soda pop? Or are you just going to like, I just want the $5.55 pizza and I'll keep the change for next time?
If I want a soda, I would probably swing by the corner store than get it at the Little Caesars because it would be cheaper there. So yeah. I'd spend a couple of the $20 on that. The thing is, I can eat an entire Little Caesars pizza in one cheat day. Experience has taught me it is not a good idea. So it's going to be, I pick up just like a normal pizza or an ICB and that's it, because anything more is just, it's going to go to waste. I'm going to have to throw it out in 24 hours.
For those listening to the podcast that need a reference for ICB, it stands for Italian cheese bread.
Oh, okay. That's something different than I was thinking. Now, Jacob, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. You know, honestly, probably either McDonald's or Little Caesars. That's the first thing that comes to mind for the 20 bucks. However, I will say this. My wife, who I love very much, never does not have food in the house. Like, we've always got food in the house. We could always make something.
Mm-hmm.
If there was no food in the house, like, what's the quote from The Office about Dwight? He's like something like, if something happens, you're already dead or something like that.
Like, if I die in the zombie apocalypse, you've already been dead for a week.
Yeah, something like that. Like, if there's no food in the house, like something major has happened.
There's no food that can be had currently.
Correct.
Yeah, we're waiting for the crops to grow.
So I think this scenario is very unrealistic in our situation. However, with the $20, yes, I think we could eat very happily at Little Caesars or even McDonald's. Perhaps even Burger King.
Which one would give you the least regret?
I think that's a whole nother podcast topic.
That's fair.
Rank these restaurants in least regrettable to most regrettable. which one is the walk of shame? But we love it anyway. For myself and my family, Little Caesars is definitely a strong option, might be the correct one. Then Burger King would be an option because we have coupons. And then right now Subway has a buy one, get one on subs. And what Laura and I have figured out is I get two subs built my way, plus her way on top of that. So it's a ton of veggies and a ton of meat and cheese. And then I take her half of the meat and cheese and I give her my half of the veggies. Basically, we take two subs and make them into a veggie sub and a double meat, double cheese sub. And for the same price, we get a massive feast and it's amazing. So long as they have that coupon on, I feel like I kind of want Subway because it's a bit healthier-ish.
Not if you do double meat. I think that kind of negates the purpose.
It's a spicy Italian. And so double meat-ish.
Got it.
Some of that food goes to the little girl. So, you know, it's not all for me. But no, it ends up being honestly two really, really tasty subs. We're both extremely satisfied in what we get. So
what color of bread do you get? What was that? Who did that?
I believe it's just wheat. So brown bread.
brown white bread.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The healthier bread.
I feel like phrasing it as what color bread you get is like you're just setting up a trap. You could just say, what type of bread do you get?
No, it's a Jim Gaffigan reference.
Okay.
He's like all the Subway bread tastes the same. He's like, you just have to ask what color bread do you want.
That's not entirely fair. There's a noticeable difference between the Subway breads.
It's a comedy routine. It's absolutely hilarious.
Nice.
They took away my 9-grain oat.
That was a good one.
That was the best one. That's the only
they still
one
have the they have the Italian herbs and cheese?
They do.
Last I knew.
That's what I get now. Well, I have prepared for my topic. I gave my brothers a little bit of homework. Well, I said it should only take 5 to 10 minutes. If it took longer than that, it is your own doing.
The problem was you didn't let me do enough homework.
Oh, boy. We need the Goldilocks amount of homework. So, I found out a couple weeks ago that there is a challenge exercise thing that NASA put out of a scenario that how companies, the way I heard about it is my company was using it for like a team building exercise, like an icebreaker warm up thing before a Zoom meeting. And I was like, you know what? This is actually kind of fun. I'm going to do it with my brothers on the podcast. So the scenario is you are a member of a space crew scheduled to rendezvous with a mothership on the lighted surface of the moon. However, due to mechanical difficulties, your own ship was forced to land at a spot 200 miles away from the rendezvous point. So you're on the moon surface, 200 miles away from where you need to be. During reentry and landing, much of the equipment on board was damaged, and you must choose what critical items that are not damaged to take with you for this 200-mile trip to get to the rendezvous point. There are 15 items. They're intact and undamaged. Your task is to rank them in terms of their importance to the crew to allow you to reach the rendezvous point. So number 1 is the most important item. Number 15 is the least important item. So I sent this list of items, unnumbered, to my brothers. And we're going to get to hear their rankings and find out if they did it correctly, because NASA did a ranking for each of the items. And then at the end, you add up your score and see if you made it, if you survived at the rendezvous point, or if you died on the surface of the moon.
Is the ranking annotated? Do they give the explanations for why items are ranked the way that they are?
They do. That's the fun part, because then you can go, ah, that's a bunch of phooey. I'm smarter than NASA.
So a question I have, when you say lighted part of the moon, that just means you're not on the dark side of the moon, correct?
Correct. You're not on the dark side of the moon. Most noticeably meaning you are not freezing your buns off.
Well,
which probably changes which items are important.
Even if in the lighted side of the moon, it's still pretty dang cold.
You are a member of a space crew scheduled to rendezvous with a mothership on the lighted side of the moon. That's what the mothership is. How do we know that we're in the lighted side of the moon?
Because you're only 200 miles away from the rendezvous point. So unless the mothership's like right on the edge.
It very well could be. I have so many questions.
That's a fair question. When I did this, I misread the prompt and thought that we were on the dark side of the moon. So that's a fair question. This will take a little while to get through, so I'm just going to jump into it because there's 15 items. I'm going to read off the item and ask all of you where it was ranked. I will then tell you the NASA ranking, and you need to mark down the difference between your ranking and NASA's ranking. You're trying to get the lowest score possible, because if you got all zeros, then you put every item exactly where NASA said it should be.
Okay. Could I offer that you read through the list of items initially in case somebody listening to this wants to pause the podcast, write the list down, do it themselves, and then listen to our answers after they do it themselves?
They certainly can. I will list them off in no particular order. A box of matches, food concentrate, 50 feet of nylon rope, parachute silk, a portable heating unit, 2 .45 caliber pistols, 1 case of dehydrated milk, 2 100-pound tanks of oxygen, a stellar map, that's self-inflating. Stellar as in a map of stars and not a map that's totally radical. A self-inflating life raft, a magnetic compass, 5 gallons of water, signal flares. It doesn't say how many, it just says signal flares. First aid kit, including injection needle. And lastly, a solar-powered FM receiver transmitter. So those are your 15 items.
Hold
on. You got to rank what's most
important. Hold on. The document you said solar-powered FM receiver. Is this a receiver or a receiver transmitter?
It says receiver transmitter.
Where? Mine does not say that.
Well, I may be looking at a different document for the answers than the one I sent you.
Dude, that
changes a lot.
That changes everything.
Well,
okay.
We can just call it a receiver. I don't think it changes NASA's ranking.
Okay.
You know what? It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
What's our first item?
So, the first item. Where did you rank the 2 100-pound tanks of oxygen?
Go
ahead, Joe.
I ranked that as number one.
As did I.
I ranked it as number two.
Now,
it is, in fact, number one.
My question on this is this 100 pounds weight or 100 pounds mass? And if weight, which body? But I'm going to assume it's 100 pounds mass, so it's not going to weigh as much on the moon.
You are exactly correct. Most pressing survival need. Weight is not a factor since gravity is 1/6 of the Earth's. Each tank would weigh only about 17 pounds on the moon.
Damn.
And so,
everyone's at zero except Jacob, who's at one.
To that regard, I envision myself on the moon bouncing quite freely along. Like, I can cover miles and miles and miles a lot faster, maybe, in this. And that's why we're going to try and cover these 200 miles on foot, as opposed to how come we're not staying with our wreckage? They're going to try and come find us. Let's huddle in here, kind of thing. So I feel like this is expecting you to try to get to the ship yourself.
The scenario the scenario said survival depends on reaching the mothership.
Well, what if the mothership comes to me?
Like, it said the most critical items available must be chosen for the 200-mile trip. The implication is that you have to get from here to there. And
the implication is you are going on the trip.
And nothing,
which I think is faulty thinking.
Okay, fine.
If you would like to challenge the premise, you may. It doesn't change the fact that the oxygen tanks are number one. Where did you have ranked? I would say even if you're staying put, the oxygen tanks are important. Okay, where did you put 5 gallons of water?
Number two.
Number three.
That is two. Explanation. Needed for replacement of tremendous liquid loss on the light side. It must be hot on the light side.
Tremendous liquid loss.
Yeah, so here's my understanding. Well, okay. I have so many questions that we haven't really covered. But one is, so I'm going by the principle of the 3-3-3 rule, right? You can make it 3 minutes without air,
mm-hmm.
3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. Well, even if you're going on foot, you should be able to get to the rendezvous point in 3 weeks. I would hope, maybe. I still rank that probably maybe higher than what I literally suggest. It doesn't say how big the crew is.
True.
So I don't know how far 5 gallons of water is going to go, but whatever, we got to make it count.
5 gallons of water isn't that much water.
It's not much water. No.
Holy crap.
I'm also a little confused as to how you use this to replenish any lost water. Like, are you in a spacesuit? Is that not a closed system? How does that work?
My point as well.
That's a very good question. I have not the answers, for I'm not NASA. Where did you have ranked the stellar map?
I had it at 5.
I had it at 7.
6.
That is number 3. Primary means of navigation. Star patterns appear essentially identical on the moon as on Earth.
I had in my notes here is, will the sun overwhelm the rest of the sky? My thought is either, well, yes, because it's the sun, but on the other hand, there's no atmosphere to diffuse it, so you might be able to make out the other stars around it, but I don't know.
It's a fair question. Next time I see Neil Armstrong, I will ask him.
Okay, I have a quick aside. Who can tell me how hot the moon's surface is on the lighted side?
I was thinking to Google it, but I didn't.
I'm going to guess. I Googled it. Okay, let me guess 180 degrees Fahrenheit.
I'm just going to guess like 47 Celsius, whatever that actually is.
Lucas, do you have a guess?
I feel like the moon in general is cold, but if the sun, like, if there's nothing that, like, there's no clouds, so the sun is just going to be full sun. I think 80 degrees.
So I'll give you this first. On the dark side of the moon, temperatures can dip to a minus 280 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oof.
On the lighted surface of the moon, temperatures can reach 260 degrees Fahrenheit.
What?
I know I should have gone higher.
Ah! And Google also said that Apollo 11, which was the first manned mission on the moon, the temperatures were recorded as high as 150 degrees Fahrenheit.
Holy cow, that's so warm.
Here's the thing. It's much like, it's kind of like Earth. That think about the sun shining directly on the Earth. It gets hot. But the Earth has the advantage of, it's better regulated, right? We have an atmosphere. You have clouds. You have a body that probably stores heat better than the surface of the moon. I'm not sure about that. The other side of that is that when you are on the moon and it's really hot, that is just the surface of the moon because there is no air. So it's not the same as like being in an oven per se.
But it makes sense that they say you will need the water to replace your liquid loss. Moving on, the food concentrate is rank 4. Where did you have that?
I had that as 5.
I had it 4.
So far, everyone's doing decent. Like, if you have like 2s and 3s, it's not the end of the world. If you are like way off and something is like a 9 or a 10, then it starts to hurt. So far, so good. It says food concentrate, efficient means of supplying energy requirements. You gotta eat. Number 5 would be ranked the solar powered FM receiver transmitter, or maybe just receiver, depending on which version of the Word document.
Yeah, this totally would have made a difference. I can't receive FM radio out where I'm at on the moon. What am I listening to?
Listen to your jams.
So where did you have this ranked?
I had it 11.
I had this ranked as number 3 because I figured it would be your primary means of navigation because I wasn't certain on the stellar map. So I figured, this is the only way. I'm assuming, the mothership can either know some things about you or they can contact mission control who can know some things about you. So this is like your one point of real contact with the outside world, assuming you have a range of FM radio 200 miles on the surface of the moon, which it sounds like the answer is going to be yes-ish. So I figured if you need to know where you got to go, because you have to walk, you can't stay put, you're going to need this. Apparently not as importantly as I thought.
Still, if you had it 3 and it's 5, that's not too bad. NASA says for... Oh, go ahead.
I had it ranked as number 1. Reason being, I was like, hey, if this things work and you can receive and transmit, which would be a huge bonus, you can just radio the mothership and say, hey, where are you? Or, hey, come pick us up. Or, hey, we crash landed. Like, it seems like you could be lost out here for days, or it could be just a few hours if this thing works and you're able to. So that's why I prioritized it as number 1.
I'm Googling FM receiver transmitter range. Being low powered, most transmitters typically have a short range of 100 to 300 feet, depending on the quality of the receiver. This says for communication with the mothership, but FM requires line of sight transmission and can only be used over short ranges. So yes, you could use it to communicate with the mothership, but you're going to have to get a lot closer first.
Or higher up.
Yes.
So on the moon, can you like jump really, really high?
Oh yeah.
We jump really, really high.
Especially if you use those, tanks of oxygen to give yourself a boost to get up higher.
There you go.
I did put together a scenario in my mind where it's like, what if you took the self-inflating life raft, inflated it, put the 200-pound tanks of oxygen, pointed them out the back at a slight angle down, and then opened them and use them. Yes.
Shot them with the pistols.
Propel yourself at 1/6 of the Earth's gravity. And just fly 200 miles to the rendezvous.
Use the moon's gravity to slingshot yourself. So that was 5. 50 feet of nylon rope comes in at number 6.
And that is 8.
Not bad.
I had it 8 as well.
I had this at 12 because I'm like, I have no idea how well nylon rope is going to hold on moon surface temperatures. So I just had to guess.
I hadn't thought of that.
I'm also, I don't know exactly what one is going to do with 50 feet of nylon rope.
Well, thankfully, brother, NASA has a solution for you. It says useful in scaling cliffs and tying injured together.
English.
just lasso them.
So we got these three injured guys. We just kind of tied them together.
We just kind of pushed them.
Bounced them along like a big basketball along the...
We stuck them in these life raft and just kind of, you know, dragged them along.
So moving on to number seven. First aid kit, including injection needle, was at number seven.
I had that at six.
I had it at eight.
I had it at 11. I did not think it was important.
It says needles connected to vials of vitamins, medicines, etc. will fit special aperture in NASA spacesuit, because we're just supposed to know that there's a special aperture. Apparently drinking water, you'll figure out, but they want you to know there's a special aperture to inject yourself.
Also, there's vitamins in this first aid kit? Why does nobody tell me this?
Vitamins.
Apparently, NASA's tricky like that. Number eight, we have the parachute silk.
I had that at nine.
Which I assume this is the balloon part of the parachute.
Not just like a silk string.
Right.
I had it at nine as well.
Is this so you can make an umbrella to stay out of the hot sun?
It is. It says protection from the sun's rays.
See, that's what I was going to use the self-inflating life raft for. I was going to... No, literally, that's why I have this at number four. You inflate it, you turn it upside down, and you just carry it as a giant parasol.
Like,
you
have
all three or four Will Turner running underneath there, jumping in unison, bouncing along down the lunar landscape.
There's no... Look, you don't have to move it through any air. This should be the easiest thing in the world to move. And unlike the parachute silk, you don't, like... How are you going to keep the silk inflated?
Again, use those oxygen tanks. I'm glad you mentioned the self-inflating raft, because that is number nine.
Is the self-inflating raft on my thing? Oh, I had it at eight. Okay.
I had it at 12. I'm like, this thing's a waste of time.
I did not rank it when I did this. I think I ranked it pretty high, like not important. Here's what this one annoyed me. This one, if you have qualms with, I'm with you. The logic. CO2 bottle in military raft may be used for propulsion. I didn't know it has a CO2 bottle.
It's self-inflating. That's how it self-inflates.
So are they?
I've never used a self-inflating raft. Also, apparently it's a military raft. They don't say that in the description, but apparently it is.
That seems reasonable. This is the raft was probably designed for, you know, Earth re-entry.
Oh, that makes sense. Numero 10. We had the signal flares.
This one I had as high as two. Because I was like, screw it, I want somebody to know where I'm at. I'm going to throw them out a signal flare.
I was wondering, do these signal flares, do they require oxygen to combust? Oxygen.
Yeah,
that's what I wondered as well. They say use as distress signal when the mothership is sighted. So
yes.
Apparently they work. We would have to Google how a signal flare burns.
I'm guessing it has its own fuel supply in whatever the flare is made out of.
I had it at 13.
I had it at 6.
It's got to work when they're wet, right? Because you have them on ships a lot. Anyway, signal flare.
I had anything that I thought had to burn as like the very bottom, because I'm like, there's no reason. It won't work on the moon.
There's one item in particular that I'm very proud that no one has had.
Is it box of matches?
Well, that one I feel like is obvious. No, it's a different one. We'll get to it. Number 11, they had listed two 45 caliber pistols.
11?
11.
I was close. I had it at 10.
I had 14.
Now, I was curious about this, so I looked it up. One, they can fire because the ignition is all self-contained. It doesn't require oxygen.
Correct.
To combust. Two, they would push you slightly. Now, obviously, they're going to push the bullet a lot more because it has a lot less mass than a person. But
I say technically they push you equally.
But the velocity would be...
The velocity is different, but the
bullet can have much more velocity.
But the momentum is the same.
So they'll get you there eventually.
So do you like point the into the ground and then fire against the moon surface and then really just vault yourself way up high and then kind of cast yourself down with the parachute?
No, I don't think you would want to give yourself an upwards trajectory, because you're not going to be able to. I think you would want to jump and shoot flat. I don't know.
Shoot over your comrades.
But that's what they have. They have it listed as possible means of self-propulsion. The two 45 caliber pistols.
right.
One case of dehydrated milk comes in at number 12.
Add that 13.
13.
Not bad, not bad.
Added 10.
They just say bulkier duplication of food concentrate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just take the food concentrate instead.
And also, I assume dehydrated milk, you'd probably want to add water to it, so you're using up your water.
You are using up your water, yes.
I guess you still drink it, so.
You could, I guess, eat dehydrated milk? That sounds kind of... Well, isn't it going to dehydrate you to hydrate the milk?
Yeah, so your body will use its own water to then rehydrate the milk. So you're gonna have to balance that equation at some point.
Yeah. Coming in at 13, we have the portable heating unit.
I had that at 12.
I had that at 14.
14, not bad.
Because again, you're on the lit side of the moon. What do you need a heater for?
It does say not needed unless on the dark side. But when I read the prompt, somehow I thought they were on the dark side.
See, I knew they were on the light side, but I still thought the moon was extremely cold, even on the lighted side. So I put this at number 5.
That's going to hurt your score. Oh, well.
See, I double checked and I saw, oh, they are on the lighted side of the moon. But then I asked myself, are you going to be able to get to the mothership before, you know, nightfall
sunset?
On the moon? Yeah, and then I realized that because the moon is tidally locked to the Earth, its day-night cycle is about 1 month long. So if you're on the lit side of the moon, you've got like 2 weeks to get there.
You good.
You good.
2 weeks to go 100 miles on 5 gallons of water and some food concentrate.
Yep.
There you go.
1/6 gravity, though. You can do it.
If only there was a cliff bar. Oh, man. I'd have energy for days. This is the one that is concerning. We'll see how it goes. The magnetic compass. Where did you have that?
I had it at 9. In my notes, I had, does the moon have a significant magnetic field? ?
Yeah, same. I had it at 10.
I had it at 7.
It is 14. Next to useless. The magnetic field on the moon is not polarized, so the magnetic compass is worthless for navigation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought there might be like another use for something about it that I didn't know.
It's real pretty.
It was like, because magnetic compasses come with a spring in the middle, and you're going to use that to, you know, do such and such. It's like, what? You know, one of those kind of things. Okay, I'm fine.
Finally, number 15, which I haven't heard any of you say it yet. I think you all had it correct. The box of matches.
Indeed.
Cool. So if you add up your totals, I can tell each of you if you survived your 200-mile trek to rendezvous with the mothership.
I got 34.
34, okay.
I got 42.
42, okay.
I'm still looking back and forth between my calculator and my thingamathing. I got 30.
Nice. Okay. So Kevin and Alexander got good. That's 26 to 32. Above average results, yes, you made it.
No. I got 34.
Oh, you got 34. You got average. It was a struggle, but you made it in the end.
Yeah.
Jacob, you got 40-something?
42.
42 is also average. It was a struggle, but you made it in the end.
Thank goodness.
Nobody died.
How abysmal can you get?
Well,
like, at what point 70, are they just like...
71 plus is very poor. Oh, dear. Your bodies lie lifeless on the surface of the moon.
Yikes.
56 to 70 is poor. Sadly, not everyone made it back to the mothership. And then anything below a 56, everyone survives.
What do you have to do to get best rating?
0 to 25 is excellent. If I'd
known it was a solar-powered FM receiver transmitter, I knew it would rank that much differently than I did.
And then the other item that you ranked too good would have been ranked worse, and then that would have helped you. That's the thing, is if you mess up one, you mess up two.
Yes.
If I had known that the lighted side of the moon was so hot, I would not have ranked the portable heating unit as 5.
Yeah.
But now I know.
That's kind of the point of the quiz, though, isn't it?
Yeah, this is how much do you know about the moon, lol? Well, so there you go. We've done our team building exercise. Don't you feel closer as coworkers?
Now I would like to see a variant of this where you do this exercise, but you have like an expert there who is willing to answer, you know, just simple factual questions, And then you see how well your candidates can actually, like, reason about this thing rather than just, do you know this trivia?
Well, tune in next time.
I'll go buy a 50-cent book of critical thinking puzzles and we'll...
When we get an expert on the moon on our show, we'll call you back and we'll get that figured out for you. So my topic is, what is something that is really popular now in 2021, but in 5 years, everyone will look back on and be embarrassed by?
The first thing that came to my mind was TikTok, because I feel like every app eventually goes away and stops being popular. Mm-hmm. As TikTok has its moment in the sun right now, but eventually it'll be dead when some other app comes along, kind of like Vine is now.
I think stimulus payment checks right now are something that's really popular. But in 5 years, everyone will be like, oh, man, we've got nasty inflation.
Yeah. How about electric cars?
Ooh, you think electric cars are a fad?
Hot take.
Yes.
Do go on.
I'm not a fan of them. I don't think they're going to hold up as well as people think they will. I think the cost of having them repaired as they inevitably break down, because that's what vehicles do, true, is going to be astronomical initially, because you will not have people that know how to fix them. They're not a 100-year-old combustion engine that you can teach a mechanic to fix. It's a completely different animal.
The parts are also, there's not decades of parts that have been produced.
Yes. So people are going to have an issue with it, and it's going to be like, oh, I'm waiting for a Tesla recall of like, okay, we're recalling 150,000 vehicles that were made on this production line because it's possible the vehicle could electrocute you if it's parked in water. Like, something along these lines where it's like, this is now a death trap. So there's one for me.
But we do that with gasoline-powered cars, and that hasn't killed the market.
Well, after this many years, no. Now, if this question was, in 35 years, I don't think I would be on that. I think it's still a learning process going to take place in electric cars.
So here's the thing. I see where you're coming from. And like, I don't have a desire to have an electric car, but there are car manufacturers who have committed to, by such and such year, we will only be making electric cars. Mm-hmm. Like, they're starting to switch over to that. So I don't know that they're going to go away. The cars breaking down made me think of this. Have any of you followed or looked at all at the right to repair stuff that's going on right now?
For Tesla
and by extension, Apple.
I've heard a little bit about it, but I'm not an expert.
I wanted to make sure nobody was an expert before I talk about it, because you'd be like, well, actually, with this, basically my understanding is there are folks who are fighting for legislation to have the right to repair their Teslas versus, like, right now, if your Tesla wants to be worked on, you have to take it to a Tesla mechanic and they have to, like, you can't, it's not like if I want to go and change my oil in my car, I can just change my oil. If I want to do a muffler job myself, I can do it. With Teslas right now, like, you can't get the parts, you can't do the work. The entire bottom of the car is sealed shut. And if you don't have the special Tesla tools, you can't open it and fix it.
Then maybe don't buy a Tesla.
Otherwise, in 5 years, you'll regret it.
You'll look back and be embarrassed, man.
I'm not surprised that this exists. I just have me and my libertarian shadings, I have a problem with it from my perspective, because it's like, there's nothing compelling you to buy a Tesla. Spend your money on a different car that does allow you to repair it. And vote with your wallet. And if people do that, then other auto manufacturers will say, oh, we should make our cars repairable so that people will buy them. And if you are the only person on the planet who thinks that, then it's not the industry's job to cater to you, because everybody else is apparently very happy with the walled gardens.
Another thing that I think is popular now that will be very silly very soon. And if we don't want to discuss this on the podcast, we don't have to, but high-waisted jeans.
It's not where I thought you were going.
What?
What's a high-waisted jean? Are those just for high-waisted people?
Yes, it's for very tall people that have high waist.
People who create a high amount of waist.
High amount of waist. It's jeans that women wear that come up well above their belly button.
Weren't those popular in like the 80s?
Yeah, and then they got termed mom jeans, and so then no one wore them, and now it's back again. I think they look ridiculous. The other thing that I think looks ridiculous is clear glass frames or glasses frames.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not into it.
Some people just like that look, huh? And it's like, oh yeah, I want to look like I have wear glasses, but you know, I don't need them.
I'm not.
Or people do it wearing contacts.
I'm not saying you're wrong on your points, but almost any fashion trend in any decade will be embarrassing in 5 years.
What about the Marvel universe? Are they finally going to outstay their welcome? I've been waiting for those things to die, and it just keeps going.
I thought it's concluded. Like, I thought, like, they saved the world from something or re-saved the world from something.
No, they released... So they're doing this thing where they now have TV shows on Disney Plus, and they release one episode a week.
Mm-hmm.
So they did WandaVision, which is all out, and you can just watch all of it. And now they've started a new one with The Falcon, where they're releasing one every Friday for the next 6 weeks or whatever.
Falcon. I guess I don't follow the Marvel Universe closely enough to really know or care what is going on.
I don't think people will be embarrassed by it in 5 years. I feel like in 5 years, people are going to say, yeah, there's this really good string of movies, and then it outstayed its welcome.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it'll be like Star Wars back in the 70s or whatever. Is it the 70s the original Star Wars came out?
I think so.
And it was like... It was like a fad, and it was a, I grew up in the 2000s and the 20-teens, and we had all these great Marvel movies. And now today, you know, back in my day, it was the kind of thing.
Right. Maybe embarrassed is the wrong word, because like we're not embarrassed of Lord of the Rings. At least I'm not.
Are you embarrassed by The Hobbit?
Which one?
All of them.
Battle of Five Armies, yes.
But did you ever think that was cool?
No.
Yeah, that doesn't really count. You're fine. I'm trying to think of, like, is there some, like, political movement or stance that's really in vogue right now that I think is going to be a flash in the pan? Like...
Black Lives Matter?
This
$15 minimum wage?
I don't think people are going to be embarrassed by those in 5 years. Like, Occupy Wall Street, there's probably people embarrassed by. Although, even that, I think people are still like, no, that's fine. It would be more likely that it's things like people protesting the arrest of a restaurant owner who refused to follow coronavirus restrictions. But the problem is that is only, quote, really popular in a very limited subset of the country's population. I'm having a hard... How about what?
What about cancel culture? Cancel. I can't say it. Cancel culture.
I feel it's way overblown, but maybe.
I think if we go to the question, what's really popular now that everyone would be embarrassed by in 5 years? I don't think people would necessarily be embarrassed by cancel culture. It'll just be like, oh yeah, that was a thing.
I think for me, the most likely thing of really popular but will be embarrassing in 5 years is honestly the current trend of meme culture.
What's the current trend?
The current trend is like, it'd be like a Twitter post of like, when the X does Y, and then a screenshot from some movie, or The Office, or other TV show. And then it's some quote from it, taken out of context, maybe badly photoshopped, to relate to whatever the original topic is. So I feel like that's 90% of quote memes I see nowadays. And it's like, I feel like these are going to age like milk.
What about like the meme, like... flash in the pan, like there's like a 48 to 72 hour window that like all the memes have to be produced when something funny happens, and then after that window's gone, like if you make a meme, like if you made a meme right now about Bernie Sanders sitting in his chair with his little mittens, like you'd be like, that was so 2 months ago, and people would call you out on it. Like, is that always going to be the situation where you have to have the meme so fresh that it's funny?
It depends on the meme. So, like, specific instances of memes like that, Yes, topical memes have a short shelf life. Meme formats can last around for a good long while. Like, any of y'all remember Advice Animals? I remember Advice Animals.
Oh, gosh.
Good old white impact font with a black outline. It was terrible, but we didn't know any better.
Was it funny?
Not really.
If a meme's not funny, what's it doing there?